Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films are Pasolini, Chulas Fronteras, and Maiden. It's my work for the week. Hi, David. How are you?
Doing okay, Jill. How are you this week?
I'm all right. I would like to know what a Pasolini is.
Well, a Pasolini is a name, and it is a very famous name, not that you apparently have run across it. It is the name of a very, very great Italian filmmaker named Pier Paolo Pasolini. And the new movie Pasolini is not by Pasolini, and it is not a documentary. It is a fiction film, a sort of a docudrama about the last day of Pasolini. So I'll give a little bit of background on this. Pier Paolo Pasolini was a very, very great filmmaker. In fact, I taught a whole course on his films at the Maryland Institute College of Art just a few years ago. A very great filmmaker and a very controversial filmmaker in his own day. He died in the mid-70s, about which more in a moment. Pasolini was a very, very Marxist filmmaker, which was not so unusual back in the 60s and 70s, in Europe especially. Very Marxist filmmaker. And he was also a very openly gay filmmaker, very controversial back in the 60s and 70s. And that's just kind of an interesting combination in itself. And his movies very often had a religious element to them. Very, very, in fact, pretty much always, even though he always claimed he was an atheist. And his movies always had very strong political elements to them, and very often very ferociously political elements to them, although often kind of indirectly expressed. So the point is that he was a very, very major and very, very controversial in his own day Italian filmmaker. And some of his movies, especially his last one, a movie called Salò, the 120 Days of Sodom, really pushed the envelope for the depiction of sex, violence, and all kinds of disgusting stuff. But for serious purposes, that was a very passionate protest against fascism, but done in a way that that again was based in part on a novel by the Marquis de Sade, and really kind of pretty much matched the Marquis de Sade in terms of his grotesquerie at some points. And that is worth mentioning because the movie Pasolini begins with a few clips from that exact movie, Pasolini's last film. And then we get into the movie Pasolini itself, which stars Willem Dafoe as the great filmmaker Pasolini. And he is playing Pasolini on his last day, the day he died in 1975. And this is not exactly a spoiler. It's certainly very well known among film people by myself, but Pasolini was beaten to death in a parking lot by some people, someone he had picked up and some other people who came along as kind of one of these rough trade incidents. And that was how he met his end, very shockingly, in 1975. And the movie Pasolini tells the story of that last day with Pasolini played by Willem Dafoe. And then there's also many, many flashbacks to earlier periods in Pasolini's life. And we see various episodes in his earlier life and his life as a filmmaker and so forth and so on. Now, the movie Pasolini has actually been bouncing around for about 5 years before really making it to the United States. And not surprisingly, it's not on a subject that everybody's familiar with. Not many people are familiar outside of film circles with Pasolini himself. Willem Dafoe is a very great actor and someone I've known for many years, but he's not, you know, a huge Hollywood star or anything. But Pasolini has finally now made it to the American theatrical circuit. And it is a movie by Abel Ferrara, himself sort of a controversial filmmaker who has made movies ranging from King of New York, which is a crime movie and a very great one, Ms. 45 many years ago, another crime movie and a very excellent one. To more recent films dealing with all kinds of subjects ranging from kind of criminals to religious subjects, vampire film, stuff like that. Very, very versatile filmmaker. Very, very eccentric filmmaker. And his movies tend to be very, very eccentric. And he has worked with Willem Dafoe in the past, and the two of them are an excellent team. Pasolini is a quirky movie, an eccentric movie, kind of a strange movie in a lot of ways. Anybody interested in film history, modern film history, should definitely catch up with it. And anybody interested in Willem Dafoe should see it. It's not one of his greatest performances ever, but as always, he gives a very solid performance. performance in the leading role of this movie, which tells an episode in film history which I hope does not get forgotten. Pasolini was a very major filmmaker, and his own life was full of conflicts, which kind of led to the grisly end that he met back in the middle 70s, and this movie captures some of the pathos of his life and some of the kind of aggressive interest of his life, and I will also mention that it is just beautifully, beautifully photographed. Turning to our second movie for today, it's another movie that's not going to be in multiplexes, but it's really worth calling attention to, Chulas Fronteras. This is a movie by Les Blank. Les Blank is an American documentary filmmaker. He died a few years ago. And his most famous movie is a film called Burden of Dreams, which it was kind of a making-of movie about one of the German filmmaker Werner Herzog's greatest movies, a movie called Fitzcarraldo. Burden of Dreams is an amazing feature-length documentary that gets into the making of Fitzcarraldo, which involved astonishing physical challenges, such as hauling an entire huge boat over a gigantic mountain just in order to shoot some scenes for a movie. Anyway, that's probably Les Blank's most famous movie, but he made a long, long, long list of documentary films. And some of his documentary films are very much like Chulas Fronteras, which is really, really, really about music and food. Chulas Fronteras was filmed entirely along a place that Les Blank loves very, very much, the Mexican-American frontier. And that makes this movie extremely timely because obviously there's all kinds of controversy going on nowadays about border issues and so forth. Now, Chulas Fronteras was actually filmed way back in 1976, but it is now making its way, belatedly, to the theatrical circuit, along with a shorter film on a very similar subject by Les Blank. And Chulas Fronteras is about the music of the Mexican-Americans and the American-Mexicans who live right along the side of the border between Texas and Mexico. It deals with migrant farmers. It deals with musicians. And it is just bursting with music. It's only about an hour long, but it is full of wonderful music. And along the way, we have little interviews with a number of the musicians. We also, as I mentioned, see a lot of their food. Les Blank loves food. He's made a number of documentaries that deal with food. And so if you're interested in Mexican music or Mexican food, and I suppose that goes for an awful lot of people, Chulas Fronteras will simply delight you. It's just a wonderful movie in that way. Now, something else I want to mention is that Chulas Fronteras, a lot of the songs, and again, it's just full of music and a lot of subtitles so that we get the lyrics of music, even if we don't speak Spanish fluently. A lot of the songs are the usual kinds of songs. They're love songs about romance, love, loneliness, the love you lost, the love you got, and stuff like that. But every once in a while, something will really be surprising. There will be a song about somebody who was beaten up by Texas Rangers out of sheer bigotry. And we realize that there's a great tradition of protest songs along the Texas-Mexican frontier as well. The kind of troubles that are going on now along that border are not something that came out of thin air, you know, a year or two ago. There have been tensions of all kinds for a very long time. And the movie deals with that, but it deals with it in a way that it kind of sneaks up on you from time to time. But Chulas Fronteras is secondarily a political film. Primarily, it is just a film about the delight of music, the delight of food, and the tremendous richness that there is in the migrant community and in the resident community, again, of the Mexican-Americans and the American-Mexicans who live along that frontier, who work along that frontier. Some of them are migrants who go far away from that frontier to other places and then come back to that, to do their seasonal work and then come back there. All of these things are crammed into this hour-long movie called Chulas Fronteras. So again, it is really worth seeking out. Les Blank's movies are almost always just wonderful, and this is just as delightful as any from his wonderful camera that I can remember. And our final movie for today is the one that's going to have the widest play. It's gotten a lot of advanced buzz. It's a movie called Maiden. And it is another documentary. And it is about, more or less, a woman named Tracy Edwards. Now, Tracy Edwards, when she was very young, you know, a young woman, got a job as a cook on a yacht. And she really, really got into it. And she really, really liked it. And she really got along with the all male other than her yacht crews that she came into contact with. And she started to think, you know, I really like this yachting life, but I really wish I didn't just always have to be the cook. And so she did something about it. And what she did was she actually, through astonishing amounts of ingenuity and thought and hard work, put together an all-female crew, and they sailed in the famous around-the-world yacht race, which used to be called the Whitbread Round-the-World Yacht Race. Now it's called the Volvo Around-the-World Yacht Race. She put together the first all-female crew, and they sailed in that race. And I won't tell you how it came out, because you have to see the movie to find that out. But they sailed in that race, and that is what the movie is basically about. The race was in 1989. And this movie is a look back at that fabulous race and about all the events that led up to it and about Tracy Edwards herself and how she put together this crew and how they went out there and they just sailed in this race. And again, I'm not going to tell how it all came out, but the main point is that they did really well. So, of course, one of the things that this movie is about them fighting the sexism of the time. This is 1989, and there is still so much progress to be made in the ways of feminism. But boy, it was worse in 1989, and especially in this very, very, very male-dominated world of yacht racing. And there was constant skepticism from all the men involved, skepticism from the press when she started to get publicity for this, and especially in when the race was on. And not just skepticism, but condescension and all kinds of chortling. Well, a bunch of women. Yes, they'll see how hard this is. And, of course, Tracy Edwards and her crew, she was only in her middle 20s, by the way, really turned the tables on all of those skeptics and really changed things around a lot. Now, the movie, the documentary, which, by the way, was made by a man named Alex Holmes, the documentary has a fair amount of footage that was actually shot during the race. They had a couple of cameras on board, one of which was a fixed camera on the deck, and then another camera, which could be passed around by different members of the crew. And we see them in all kinds of situations, ranging from the raging storm to the kind when they get really thrown off course and they're, you know, maybe not enough wind, you know, all the things that hit you when you are sailing, when you are involved in yachting of any kind, and especially when you are involved in a yacht race. There's one quite remarkable incident when on another boat there's a medical emergency and a member of their crew is a physician. And so they take time out to go over so that their physician can treat this person on another one of the boats in the competition who has fallen prey to an emergency. So there are things like that and very unexpected things like that along the race and away. And also that there are ways in which this changed the whole kind of yacht racing scene. For example, after that incident, it became absolutely sort of conventional for yacht racers to have a physician on board, which had not been the case before then. So they made differences in ways you might not have expected. Now, it's kind of interesting, but several months ago at my cinema club that I host every other Sunday at the historic Avalon Theater in Washington, D.C., we showed Maiden, and we had with us a member of the original Maiden crew, and I did an onstage interview with her after we had all looked at the film together, and she talked about all the tremendous challenges that were involved, and she herself now is very much a speaker who goes out and spreads the word about this accomplishment and about all that it meant for things. And one of the things that we talked about, there's a moment in the movie that will come by a lot of as a great surprise to a lot of viewers. At one point, Tracy Edwards, the woman right at the center of this whole story, who engineered all of this, is asked, you know, what kind of a feminist she is, and she says she hates the word feminism, she's not a feminist. Well, of course, what she did was ferociously feminist. It was a magnificent achievement that feminists everywhere can look to for great inspiration, and that men like me who consider themselves feminists can look to and admire tremendously. But this woman who had been on the actual crew of this voyage said that, well, what she really meant by that was that she doesn't want to be seen as a political person. She didn't do this for political reasons. She did this because she loved yachting, she loved racing, and she didn't see any reason why a woman couldn't do it as well as men, and that's what she set out to show, and that is what she did prove absolutely. All of that aside, Maiden is an exhilarating movie to watch. It's just fascinating going back to the footage of Tracy Edwards as a kid, right up through all the footage from the race itself and all the discussion of it and the skepticism about it and what these racers proved. So I recommend Maiden so highly. It's one of the best documentaries in a long time, and it is certainly going to be the documentary to see this summer. And so of all the movies I've talked about lately, there is none that I would recommend more highly for sheer enjoyable viewing. Go catch Maiden. You'll have a great time. And that is my semi-documentary story this week, Jill.
Thank you very much, David Sterrett. Films in Focus, the films Pasolini, Chulas Fronteras, and Maiden.